Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Apple, second quarter revenue, $90.75 billion. That's slightly better than the forecast of $90.33 billion. iPhone revenue, $45.96 billion, slightly above the estimate of $45.76 billion. The company, here's a big one, to buy back additional $110 billion worth of shares and boosting its quarterly dividend. That's the Apple playbook, and it is now up 2.3% initial reaction here in the aftermarket.
Yeah, I was going to say, who cares about those other numbers? It's that buyback of additional $110 billion. Of shares and boosting that quarterly dividend that certainly has investors expected. Some additional color here. Second quarter Greater China revenue, Carol, $16.37 billion. Even though that was a decline of over 8% year over year, it still did beat estimates of $15.87 billion. Second quarter revenue coming in above estimates at $90.75 billion. Estimates are for $90.33. That iPhone revenue also coming in above estimates, $45.96 billion. Estimates were $45.76 billion.
Apple raising that dividend to 25 cents a share from the previous dividend of 24 cents a share. So just to keep in mind that we start, you know, slowly we've seen all of these big tech companies, the Magnificent Seven, offering up things like a dividend and so on.
Our own Mark Gurman all over this story. Here's his take initially. Apple sales declined less sharply than feared last quarter, held by stronger than expected demand in China, sparking optimism that the company's slowdown may be easing. Apple also said it expects to return sales growth in the current period, with revenue climbing by a percentage in the low single digits. That's according to Luca Maestri, the company's CFO. He told Bloomberg Television's Emily Chang in an interview.
All right, so let's get some analysis right now. Our own Anurag Rana is standing by of our Bloomberg Intelligence team. Anurag, you've got the numbers, and of course the additional big buyback of $110 billion worth of share, boosting its quarterly dividend. But it looks like, you know, they came in either online or better than expected. But what's your smart take on this?
Yeah, I would say anything, the number that stands out really is that the decline in China was not as bad as I guess it was communicated before. So slightly better than before, but it's still overall, you're still a negative number. There is no, and you know, we'll find out on the conference call whether they make a comment or not, or what kind of guidance they give for next quarter. But overall, I would say the results were okay compared to, I'd say, going into the quarter when the pessimism is very high.
What's the big headline here? Is it the board approving plans to buy back an additional $110 billion worth of company stocks? Is it Apple increasing its dividend 4% to 25 cents a share? Are those the numbers that investors should be focused on right now?
I would have been expecting, you know, them to buy at least $100 billion of stock every year. So that's, you know, to me,
that's,
you know,
table stakes.
Billion, yeah, it's just normal. I really need to know where the growth is going to come from and, you know, how are things shaping up for the second half of the year. And but most importantly, what are they doing in the AI, you know, arena at this point, and what kind of features should we expect going forward?
So remind us too, Anurag, this company typically doesn't release the outlook in their call. I forget. I mean, they talk about it on the call, but not in the release, correct?
Yeah, that's not in the release. They're going to give some indication about each of the product lines on the call. So when we look at these results, you know, services is good, you know, iPhone modestly better. You know, overall, I would say in line to slightly better quarter, but it all boils down to the commentary on the conference call about how the things shaping up in the current quarter.
So if they are talking down China in particular or revenues overall, that is going to get you concerned?
Yeah, I mean, that is going to, you know, all the current, you would say, the minor beat will be all offset by if there are any comments, negative comments about, continued weakness of the iPhone in the third quarter. Because remember, if we go to consensus right now, iPhone revenue for next quarter is supposed to be down 2%. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, in this quarter, it was down 10%. So we need to know whether that minus 2% holds true, or are we going to see better than that, in line, or worse?
Shares higher in the after hours right now by about 4%. Fair to say we're seeing this reaction as a result of just expectations being so low going into this?
Exactly.
Yeah,
absolutely. This is a true game of where pessimism has been so high and they go out and, you know, beat by a slight amount. But again, I will give you my final verdict after the call.
Yeah, and we're also seeing while we said greater China revenue better than expected, it was still about $1.5 billion below a year ago. Sales are down considerably also in Japan, the rest of Asia Pacific, and in the Americas. The lone bright spot seems to be some minor growth in Europe. You know, it's interesting on surveillance this morning, Anurag, Tom Keene asking one of his guests, is this a growth stock? Is this a value stock? How do you think about it? I know you don't give stock recommendations, but in terms of the growth metrics, it's always big numbers, but is it big growth numbers anymore when it comes to Apple?
No, we don't think it's good growth numbers for Apple at all, only because I think the big spike we saw during the pandemic, people buying a lot of iPads, computers, or AirPods, all of that is now, you know, basically, you could say, haunting them. We are coming into a world where Apple's growth rate is going to hover somewhere between 0 to 5% for at least the next 2 to 3 years. Now, that's a good case. We really need to make sure that the China situation is handled even before we can make that claim. Otherwise, it's going to be closer to that 0 to 2% rather than closer to 5%.
Anurag, our own Mark Gurman on the live blog making the point that the company declined nearly across the board on an annual basis, despite the fact that they beat Wall Street estimates. So that's overall revenue. The iPhone, by a lot.
Yep.
The iPad, by a lot.
Yes,
wearables,
exactly.
Home and accessories, by a lot. The bright spots are growth in services and for the Mac due in the M3, due to the M3 MacBook Air. Let's talk services. This is a category that was fair to say was really created under Tim Cook and has just been an incredible growth over the last few years. What are the bright spots within services?
So in our view, services is really what's holding Apple together. Only because it gives you an ecosystem feel. It's not easy to get out of the ecosystem and leave Apple for another product, and which is why, you know, the numbers over here are truly important, because, you know, this time they grew around close to 14%, if I remember correctly. That's better than what the company had initially, you know, indicated. So this is a growth driver. This is what provides value to the ecosystem, and we are hoping that they're going to come out and, you know, talk good things about the next quarter also from services, because this is the only growth driver left at this point.
Hey, Anurag, how much of now, it's just under a 4% gain here in the aftermarket for shares of Apple, how much of it is a relief that it wasn't worse than expected, especially when it comes to what's going on in China, but also that big boost in terms of buyback and the dividend?
Yeah, it is a big relief, frankly, because again, this is the one company everybody has been concerned about over the last 12 months. Now, that's why I'm saying this is not like, you know, Amazon or Microsoft beating their cloud numbers by a big amount. It's just, you know, somebody saying, oh my God, it's not bad enough. It's just okay. So it's a very different sentiment. But again, that's the way market behaves. Frankly, it's a game of expectations.
But I mean, how much of the jump in the aftermarket, is it mostly just that it wasn't worse than as expected, or is it also a big chunk of the buyback?
No, the buybacks, as I said, they do about $100 billion a year. So $110 billion is not a big deal.
Would a quarterly dividend increasing?
Penny.
Yeah, but once again, you know, this is a technology stock. We really need to see the growth for this company to actually see their valuation go up.
Okay. So what has you concerned here?
I mean, I just want to know what's happening in China, frankly. We don't. This report has told me that the things in China are not as bad as what the street was looking at. But that doesn't mean it's still a decline.
How much of an issue is it? And again, Mark Gurman pointing this out, wearables, home and accessories, a big decline, dipping nearly $1 billion. He says it's shocking because it's the same quarter that Apple launched the Vision Pro, which is included in that category. Its first major new product in nearly a decade. Bad news for Vision Pro?
Yeah, we were never expecting any major contribution from that device. Think about it, $3,500. Even if you sell 400,000 units the entire year, which is very big, you're not going to get that much revenue boost from it. So it's not really a needle mover. The thing that actually surprised me more was that the iPad decline was very sharp. Now, this is something that I think they're going to have to explain on the call. And they're launching a new series next week. So 17% decline is what I remember, you know, briefly from a couple of minutes ago. That's a big decline in iPads also.
All right, going to leave it there. We know you've got lots going on. So appreciate your immediate response to Apple earnings. Our own Anurag Rana, who follows Apple for our Bloomberg Intelligence team. Apple shares, by the way, continuing to move up in the aftermarket, up about 3.5%. We've got another great voice for us on this, Dan Morgan, Senior Portfolio Manager at Synovus Trust. Dan, what jumps out for you here?
Well, I'm trying to come up with some great ideas different than what you've already talked about. Again, it was kind of a mixed report. I think, you know, as you were talking about earlier, the big things that stood out to me were obviously the better than expected numbers in China. You know, obviously iPhone, a slight beat, which is a positive. But, you know, Carol and Tim, it's kind of interesting. I've been following Apple stock for about 30 years. Mm. And I can remember back in 2014, they had a very similar situation where everybody was very negative. They were having issues in China and the stock was really floundering. And then they came out and they did a 7-for-1 stock split. They raised a dividend and they started buying more shares and everybody went crazy. So it's kind of interesting in this scenario. We see the dividend going up and we see, as you were talking about before, an announcement of $110 billion are going to purchase in stock. It'll be interesting to see if they come up with anything else on the conference call in terms of, you know, financial engineering to try to kind of reinvigorate interest back into Apple.
Well, you know, I'm kind of glad you went there because, I mean, and this maybe just gets to how do we classify Apple. I mean, this is a behemoth. And I feel like whenever the numbers come across, maybe the growth rate isn't there, but I mean, revenue above $90 billion. Like every time we have to kind of dissect these numbers, Dan, and we've done it a lot of times with you, I mean, this is a company that's very entrenched globally, kind of in the consumer space. And I think, is that enough to continue just by selling a lot of stuff, as long as they continue to sell a lot of stuff, even if the growth trajectory isn't there, still makes it an interesting and an engaging company for investors?
I think you hit it on the button, Carol. I mean, just think about the new Vision Pro. I mean, they're supposed to do $400 million in revenue alone just on that product. And I heard you just mention that the wearables missed. So it's kind of interesting. That's more than some companies generate in total revenue. And you're right. I mean, they have, what, 1.5 billion users. You put together the whole house, it's close to 2 billion when you look at all the different services that they have. And it's just a tremendous cash generator. I'm sure mm-hmm. you've talked before, what, $172 billion with marketable securities and cash. They generate free cash flow of about $105, $107 billion. So those numbers are kind of going back to the Warren Buffett school, kind of the old security analysis mm-hmm. they used to teach at the University of Chicago. And, you know, there's value in that. And even though we want to see an incredible new AI product that's just going to be like the next iPhone, it's probably not going to happen. And I think we just have to kind of accept that and look at the company just for what it is. And it doesn't mean they can't increase their stock price through these other avenues. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, Dan. Hey, I want to keep you because I also want to bring in Mark Gurman, Bloomberg News Chief Technology Correspondent, who was fresh off the live blog, has the write-up that you need to read about these earnings. But I do want to start at the top, Mark. Big picture, what sticks out to you? We've been discussing this nonstop for the past 12 minutes.
Yeah, so a big picture here is that Apple's doing a little bit better than feared, right? You still see declines across all of their segments other than the Mac and services, but a little bit better than what we had anticipated, or not what we had anticipated, but what had some had anticipated in China. Certainly a lot of optimism around artificial intelligence. But the big picture here is that Apple is no longer in growth mode. They're a stable company generating as much revenue as they did the past year and the year before that and the year before that. So nothing is necessarily broken here, but they do need to figure out a way to grow in the future. And just it's very unclear how that's going to happen.
OK, right that now. Was my next question for you, Mark. What is going to return Apple to growth mode? And give us a little Apple history here. Like, when was the last time Apple found itself in this position and what did they do to get themselves out of it?
Yeah, so I'm going to answer this question this way. The scariest line that you're going to see in Apple's press release is the wearables, home, and accessories number. That's about an $800, $900 million annual decline. Pretty considerable, about a 10% decline there for that business that covers AirPods, Apple Watch, Apple TV, HomePod, you name it. Why is that so concerning? Because this is the launch quarter of the Apple Vision Pro, which is supposedly their future and their savior for growth. And if you're going to have that category the Vision Pro's in have one of its biggest declines ever in the launch quarter of your new product, clearly things are not going so hot in what you're betting your future on. The last time that Apple was sort of stuck in terms of lack of growth was really before the iPhone came out. So the company has been growing for a very, very, very long time, right? At some point, momentum runs out. The momentum has run out. The good news is that it's not like they're, cratering.
Hey, Mark, real quick, I did bring that up. I saw you wrote that about that in the our great live blog. Everybody should check that out as they're listening to this. And I brought that up to Anurag, and he made the point that, the Vision Pro is still very expensive. And even if they sold a ton of them, then it wouldn't have a huge impact just because it's still relatively early in the product life cycle. Why is it still so scary to you, though?
Well, I mean, I look at it differently. It is so expensive. And so if they do sell a ton of them, that should generate, a good amount of revenue, right? And we're not talking hundreds of billions of dollars here. We're talking about an $8, $9 billion category. So an $800 million dip, 10%, is actually quite a lot. And so if they want to bet a lot on this product, it's going to have to start creating some momentum, but it's done nothing to date. And sales for these types of devices, especially at this price point, you're getting the bulk of those sales very early on in the process. You're getting them this quarter. So it only really goes downhill from here for the Vision Pro until they make major improvements on price and weight.
Hey, still with us. We're talking with our own Mark Gurman, Bloomberg News Chief Technology Correspondent. Dan Morgan still with us, Senior Portfolio Manager over at Synovus, as we are looking at Apple shares up about 6.5% here in the aftermarket as their second quarter revenue tops estimates, and they also boost their buyback. Dan Morgan, come on in on it. You've been listening to the conversation. Thoughts when it comes to wearables and the Vision Pro?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the, Mark was mentioning, that was kind of one of the catalysts that people were looking out for, that potentially Apple could start to get some momentum back in the stock. We know they've got a new tablet that's supposed to come out, I guess, next week in May. They've got the big developers conference in June. And then, of course, they come out with iPhone 16 and the new iOS 18 in September. So there are going to be some opportunities down the road, guys. I mean, I know this report's not as exciting as we would have hoped. For Apple to kind of reinvigorate, interest in what they're doing. Obviously, along that road, hopefully they'll lay out some sort of AI roadmap that's a little more specific than what they have so far on the conference calls. But again, I think this is just kind of a quiet period right now for Apple. And I don't think we have to hit the I don't think you'd hit the panic button if you hold shares. Let's just see how this thing plays out.
Hey, Mark Gurman.
Not everybody's NVIDIA.
Mark Gurman, I'm wondering if you have a question for from Dan Morgan, who's been following Apple for 30 years, seeing times when a lot of investors gave up on this company only to see it come roaring back. Do you have a question maybe for Dan?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't have a question for Dan, but I'd love to engage in a back and forth with Dan on this. I mean, I agree with you. There is no reason to panic here, Dan, especially if you're a shareholder of Apple, right? I mean, you put money into Apple, it's kind of like a bond. You're not going to, lose all your cash there, right? But you're also not going to get those NVIDIA-like returns at this point. The question is, how long are investors willing to wait until there's a next big thing? And what I will say is, I don't anticipate there being any new next big thing on the horizon anytime soon. So we'll be looking out for that.
Dan, do you anticipate any next big thing being on the horizon?
I would agree with Mark 100%. I mean, I remember, guys, Carol probably, I don't want to date us, but we've been around a while. You back in the 1990s when, we made the migration from a client server environment and we went to the IBM compatibles and everybody was into Gateway and Dell and HP and all the big PC makers were going crazy and Apple was almost ready to go bankrupt. I mean, they had a very very niche group of people that bought Macs. And then in 2007, they came out with the iPhone, and a little couple years before that, they came out with the iPod, and the rest is history. So Apple's been down before, and Apple's had setbacks and been through periods of time when people kind of threw them aside. And, we'll just see where they are 10 years from now. That's all I can say.
Hey, I just want to end with Mark on AI, because 10 years from now, I know that Apple would love to be a leader when it comes to AI.
You and Mark, I will be replaced by AI
maybe.
10 years from now.
Mark, what's the vision? What's the vision that internally they're talking about at Apple when it comes to AI? Lay it out for us.
The vision of AI is integration, deep integration into hardware, privacy and security, and really not an Apple-designed chatbot like you've seen from ChatGPT, OpenAI, Google, Gemini, Microsoft, you name it. This is about integrated into the phone. I'll give you an example. We're on this call. My phone's in my pocket. I probably missed 20 notifications. It's Apple earnings season. I'll take my phone out of my pocket when this is done, and it'll catch me up with some AI and tell me everything I missed. That's the type of AI feature to think about if you're when you're expecting AI features from Apple. Summaries, useful day-to-day tools based on artificial intelligence, not sort of 21 questions.
I mean, that's Apple's DNA, right? All about enhancing the value of the hardware and getting you to, you know, buy that next phone.
Dan Morgan, 30 seconds left here. So something like that, how does, as AI is integrated into the Apple model and they figure out, you know, in how to monetize it, how important is that in terms of maybe making the growth trajectory change? And again, just got about 30 seconds.
I mean, it's huge, Carol. You know, as Mark was mentioning, when they have taken a dive into the chip space, they're creating their own silicon. Mm-hmm. They do have a product they're working on called Ajax, which is kind of like a ChatGPT, but it's on your phone. So there are things they are doing. But as Mark was saying, it's all integrated into the iOS, into the phone. It's not going to be some new product that we've never heard of that just comes out of left field.
All right. Well, I know I can't live without my iPhone, so bring it on. All right, guys, thank you so much. Mark Gurman, Bloomberg News, Chief Technology Correspondent. Dan Morgan, Senior Portfolio Manager at Synovus Trust on Apple. Stock is up about 6.5% here.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.